Okay, this is Joan Weaver and Rosetta Graff, and we're in the Kinsley Library today, and we're interviewing Lester Durley from Lewis, Kansas, who went on the 1979 Tractorcade. It is December 3rd, 2012. And Lester, can you start out, first of all, just describe what your farm was like in 1979? How big was your farm? Did you have animals and grain, or you know, what was your farm like at this time of the tractor?
It was irrigated. Started farming in 1971 at Carl Donovan and Lenore Donovan, and from there, at that time we had flood irrigation. 120 acres in the middle of that half section out there at the, on the Donovan farm. Earlier, before I got started farming, after I got out of the service, one day Dad came by there and said, "Well, I'm here working at Krauss Manufacturing." After I got out of the service, I worked there for 5 years or so, and for six. And Dad came by and said, "Well, I told him I'd like to be able to start farming." And so we took up that day and drove down towards Algen Farm, which is now where Kenny Undry lives. And it had the ground for sale, and Dad said, "Well, it's too high." And so from there, we drove east down the road north of our house, and Carl and Lenore Donovan lived over there on that half section. And we drove in there that day, and Carl decided that day, or the day before, that he was going to quit farming. And before that, I'll back up just a little bit. Carl, Donovan, and my dad are real good friends, and they cut wheat together while I was in the Army in a couple, 3 years. And so we just happened to go by that day and drove in there, and there's Carl out there in the yard, and Nora's out there in the yard. And so we drove in there, and Carl got to talking a little bit and said, "I'll decide I'm going to quit farming. I'm going to rent this ground out." And so, well, here we were. And so I got a couple guys in mind, and I just got out of the service here a year ago. And so Dad and talked to him for a little while there that day, and went home, and I guess he called a couple days later or something, didn't he? Says, "I've decided I want to rent that ground to you." And it was four quarters, and then they sold a quarter, which I bought, and Dad and I bought. That's where I got started farming in the center of the area, and with renting, and bought that quarter from Carl at the auction that day. And I had four quarters, and then a few years later, we're burning Graff, the place where I live now. He decided he was going to retire and move to Greensburg, and I bought the Graff place, Bernard Graff place, and that's where we live now. And I rented his ground to go with his, so I had a total of 1,600 acres, which I still farm today. Still got the original ground I started in 1971. Still got the ground. It's changed hands with the Swishers, and I still got the same landlords, Donovan ground. The Donovan kids are Dandy lives in Mesa, Arizona, and hear from them every year and twice a year. You know, the crops are in and everything. But anyway, I still got the same landlords that started out 1,600 acres, and that's what I've got.
And you grew wheat?
I grow dry land, irrigated wheat. I have five circles of irrigated crops. Irrigated corn, irrigated milo, irrigated soybeans.
And that was about what you were growing in 79 also?
No, 79. Some of that irrigation came in about 82 or 83, but I had that... 79. I had the 120 acres of flood irrigation over for Carl and Lenore, and then in the later years, in the 80s, we put that circle in so that then probably in 79, I just had that 120 acres of flood irrigation.
And you didn't have animals? You didn't have cattle? Or?
I run for several years. I run Floyd Crockett, which is a dear friend of mine. Lives over in Felsburg. Mm-hmm. You know who he is. Janet Floyd. I run cattle. Floyd and I run cattle. We serve. In fact, we helped build that church here in Lewis. So I'm a mm-hmm. trustees mm-hmm. There for several years and traveled around to build that church here in Lewis, Methodist Church. And he runs cattle over there probably, had to be over 20-some years. Brought some yearlings over every year, and we put them on corn stalks and mallow stalks, wheat pasture, and et cetera.
And were you doing this in the 70s also?
Yes.
So you did have animals at
mm-hmm.
this time?
Yes.
Was the farm your only source of income?
Yes.
Okay. And Janet?
Well, later, what year did you start teaching, Janet? And then, she taught for 19 years, I think. She taught at Greensburg Substitute.
Of course, I started out at Greensburg, my first year.
Okay. She's saying she substituted in Greensburg and started out in Kinsley, but you don't know what year?
After the kids were home.
Okay, so this is not, in the 70s, you were just a farm wife.
Yes.
Okay. How did you hear about the American agriculture movement?
Well, it started when you first... when we went to Topeka.
Well, how did you hear about before even Topeka?
The guys from Colorado started out there in Colorado, and they had meetings, and of course, I think it was probably through Daryl and Karen Miller and Doug and Claire Stapleton and Marge and then Scheifler.
Do you remember going to the local meetings when it was first getting started?
It was, we went to some of those meetings were at Kingman. I remember a place in Kingman, we went to some meetings. And, there were some meetings, but I just don't mm-hmm. know where those.
No, yeah.
Jeff Mead just wrote that stuff down. Jeff and Zelma went to meetings and Daryl and Karen Miller and Stapleton's and I remember one time we went clear down to, this is in preparation for this Washington D.C. trip, was down at Kingman.
Mm-hmm.
And so but then some of the meetings clear back before that, we went to Topeka of course, and I remember those guys coming by Lewis and with their tractors coming from Colorado and went by on Highway 50 and it's been a long time ago here. So.
When you first heard about it and that, why did you want to become involved?
Well, this agriculture was going through some tough times back in those days, and I just thought there needed to be a voice that we need to hear in Washington, D.C. and Topeka. And of course, it didn't. A lot of it didn't pan out, but then I think it made aware of what was going on here mm-hmm. in the country on the farm, and it was the low prices and the tough times it was going through, and so I thought it was a worthwhile thing to get involved with.
You know, the first tractorcade was in 1977. I got the date of that here somewhere.
Well, I don't
have a piece of paper. December 10th, 1977. And did you go on that one? Were you? They had a bus that left from the area, and I don't know if anybody.
I did not take a tractor on that one. Mm-hmm. I went.
Did you drive up, or didn't you go at all?
Well, I remember going with Jack Wolf, and
now he drove his tractor that didn't have a cab on it at that time.
Right.
I mean, it was an old tractor.
But I think that. Boy, that gets away from me. Do you remember?
I don't remember.
You maybe didn't.
Going on
I went up to Topeka one time.
One
did
time.
We go twice?
There was two times, one in the winter or December of 77 and one in 78. And I think 78 there were more tractors.
Yeah.
I think that first time there was a busload.
No, I didn't go on that.
Okay.
I went for the
so
second
you went
time.
In 78, and but you would have just driven up in a vehicle or a truck.
Yeah, or a bus, or there was a bunch of us went, and I rode to somebody, but I remember going up.
Do you have any memories about what that was like up there? Okay.
No, I don't.
And I'm trying to think. Your father was still alive.
Lloyd, yes.
What did he think about you being involved in the tractor cave?
The
tractor is off.
He didn't know about it. Of course, I remember him sitting out there along the road. The first tractor cave went by there south of... he just lived outside of Belper there a half mile, and I came up and I told him the tractor's going to be coming by. Well, that was the first one that went down that way. And he just couldn't get a handle on why they need to be doing that. But he went down to the highway there south of house. I just lived a half mile when I grew up at Belper, a half mile west of Belper. And we went down to there along the highway, and they went past us with their tractors and the flags and mm-hmm. everything was going east. And he just couldn't get a handle on why we need to be doing that.
And didn't quite approve.
And so, but he is interesting to see the tractors and the American flags everybody had going down there. And I remember sitting there with him, and that. I think that next year I got more involved in it for the second time mm-hmm. around, and we went to the Pika and we all went around the state capitol down there, and I was standing down there with Jeff Mead, and the tractor was doing a wheelie and trying to go around this wheelie around out the middle of the street, and they about tipped over. And Jeff and I was standing there at the edge of this curve, and we backed up there, and his dad was just out there in front of me, and we just almost fainted right there. That tractor is going around like that, around the circle, you know. He's going around like that, and it's blowing smoke, and
you didn't know who was in there.
No, tractor. I don't, yeah.
Jack Wolf was just here, and he said they did donuts.
Donuts. That'd be a good way to put that.
And
right.
That somebody's tractor lost a wheel on doing this, you know.
Well, I can't remember that.
Well, I don't know.
Jeff and I was standing over there, and I was standing there, and we was looking down there, and he came around doing this donuts, and that thing was just like that. And mm-hmm. I said, oh, and Jeff and I just... we just got lost it, because there he was, that tractor's going to lay over on his side, you know. And boy, we just almost fainted right there. And he finally got the thing back down on his wheel and bounced, you know.
The one Jack talked about, he said he lost the wheel and then he chained it up or something. Anyway, he finished the parade with three wheels. How do you do that on a tractor?
I didn't see that.
Well, anyway.
But I remember Jeff and me, and I stand there on the curve, and I looked down there, and just not very far from out here at the church. That thing went around and done a donut, and that thing tipped over like on the side, and I thought, well, it's going to go over and just lay over there, you know, and it finally came back and bounced, and Jeff and I stand, oh, you know, we almost fainted.
Okay, your father maybe didn't approve, didn't understand what this young guy was doing.
Right.
How about the rest of the community? Were they supportive, or was it mixed? Or?
Well, I suppose it was mixed. I mean, there was this group.
Yeah.
There was a lot of in the area that approved, and something had to be done, and legislation and trying to do something in Washington, D.C., and that's reading the same as hatched, and then the year following that, and then we went to Washington, D.C., so...
And your father's farm was doing okay, so he didn't feel the need?
It's not doing okay in there. I mean,
okay.
But he just didn't quite understand why we need mm-hmm. to be taking those tractors down the highway, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how involved were you, Janet? Did you do anything with the...
No, she didn't.
She
was at home and... Of course,
three little kids at home,
and of course I Yeah, well, looking back on that deal, I don't understand why I left either. But
you did get a generator.
I did get a generator because it's in the wintertime.
Yeah.
And, of course, the heavy lights. And she never did use it, did you?
No, but originally you were only going to go to Indianapolis.
Someplace. There's supposed to be somebody there that was going to go from Indianapolis or somewhere and then go on into Washington, D.C. I was going to come home.
Oh, okay.
And I think, thinking back on that,
well, Leo Shinstocks came out and they brought you from Washington
truck.
Back, right?
Right?
And so that's when you came home. But you think maybe they were supposed to go to Indianapolis?
No, it wasn't. You know, they live on the highway.
Schaefer's?
On the north side. And they have a little kid.
Oh, Wheaton?
Wheaton wasn't that Wheaton.
Was it Alan Wheaton?
Well, Alan was
not
involved.
Alan, but his son didn't come up
no.
and take your
Alan was involved in it, but
yeah.
I just... I can't,
okay,
Leo Shinstock, when I got to Washington, D.C.,
they flew.
Barbara and I flew home,
mm-hmm.
and Leo brought my truck home,
mm-hmm.
and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, I thought, well, I'm going to go to Indianapolis, and I'm going to come home. Well, that didn't happen. So, I was gone 3 weeks, and left her there with three kids. And I've been hearing about that probably ever since. So... But anyway, there she left. There she was, those three little kids. Nothing happened while I was gone, thankfully, and kept in contact every day, of course. And, but then,
were you supportive of why he went?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay.
And
that was a yes.
The sign was done by, we put the sign
on the truck.
On the truck.
Yeah, on the truck.
Judy Simpson.
Judy Simpson
painted that.
Judy Simpson.
She now lives in Williamsburg, Kansas, there on 35 between Emporia and Ottawa. There. So I think she still runs that barbecue place there at Williamsburg, isn't it?
Well, I was wondering about that sign. Now, did you put that, was that sign on your truck the whole way, and it lasted the whole way? I mean, it always looks in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
And it went through a lot of ice and snow.
Yes, it did.
Is it made out of canvas or something?
No, it was made out of wood.
Out of plywood.
Out of plywood.
That's why it lasted.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. She painted that. Judy Simpson.
It's a nice sign.
Yeah. Have you got a picture?
We've got pictures of it, yeah.
So, anyway, we got one at home with the boys standing. But then we can't find it yet.
No, we've got several pictures of it. Yeah.
Judy Simpson is a neighbor of ours, lived right down the road west of Jeff Meade's, is up there, but anyway, her husband passed away a number of years ago. But Judy Simpson, she is still, I think her folks had that barbecue place there in Williamsburg, isn't it? Yeah. And she's still alive, and she's going to paint that sign, and she's, it's a town on that 35 four lane between Emporia and Ottawa. And yeah, she's still alive there.
Okay, and this was a truck that you owned, or your father?
Yes,
you owned it.
Yes.
And your responsibility was to keep everybody fueled up?
Every day.
And propane, we just learned before, too, for the trailers. And
yes. Oh, yeah, had a big, must have been, I don't know how big, 1,000 gallon of diesel fuel. And I had to, of course, that was up early every morning. I mean, a lot of tractors did need fuel every day, but then a lot of them got up at night. You know, late at night, we'd be out there filling tractors up when it's cold. And all the trailers need propane, and I had that.
So you would go to a gas station and load this thing up,
a
or
lot
co-ops?
I had a lot of bulk fuel trailers along the way somewhere. They would be there. I'd see them, and then I'd get off on the road, and I'd fill that thing up.
Well, who had the bulk trailer?
Oh, I mean, you'd see a bulk trailer in a town someplace.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And, you know, like Volts.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they'd fill it up.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
And the money for the fuel came from?
Well, you know, there's a lot of money that farmers there along the way, you know, and
not just the farmers back here, but farmers along the way.
Well, there were some And there was, of course, we had money, or Marge, or whoever had the money, I suppose, give to me, and then we'd fill things up. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of this money over here before we even left.
Yeah, right. They asked for donations.
And, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And got it from the local farmers.
Yeah.
Okay, well, before we had the tape on, you were saying you think they left from Pratt?
I'm thinking back on that. I think it wasn't Pratt. It was here in Lewis, and then we went from here to Stafford and Hutchison. So it was somewhere. I think those guys from down Kingman, which is a lot of them, Kingman, Harkner, Pratt, here, came up and we went from there to Hutchison.
Okay. And let's see, we were talking, and you remembered how did you get the word that the Wolf trailer had turned over or whatever?
Well, I've been thinking about that here the last few minutes, and
did you have a CB in your truck?
No.
No.
I need CBs, no. I'm trying to think about how that about.
Because
he was ahead of us. He was going to go on down there and be down in Washington, D.C. Well, I've got it in my head. I just don't know. I can't.
They were in the group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why was he out ahead of us? Now, I don't. It was a. That was 76. I think it was 76.
76, maybe?
Yeah.
So that was a pretty new truck.
Yeah.
You were letting other people drive it.
Yeah, I think it's a 76. Well, my dad and I both got red trucks. I think it was the same year. Well, of course, I had a farm sale in, 85? I sold that truck at the sale, and it was a farm sale a year, and I got a farm about, well, I went out of farming, but then,
so by 84, 85, he's somewhere in there, times were tough enough that you were selling because you weren't making a living?
Right.
Okay.
At a farm sale, sold all of my truck and equipment, and I was out of farming probably. Well, I worked for my brother-in-law, Ron Schultz, over at Truesdale 1 year, and then I came back and then started farming again. And this is when I started farming with my neighbor, Norm Frederick. And we started doing things together. And this dear friend of mine, he's still alive. Dave's retired. And, of course, he moved to Hutchison, Kansas. He's still on his sold his farm here about 5 years ago, and my son Jay, which now farms down there with us, so he lives there now at North Frederick's place.
So you sold the truck in that sale. How about the sign? Did you keep the sign?
See, I don't know where that sign went.
I don't know.
A lot of them still have their signs.
But did they say they have?
They have their sign. They have their tractors. Nearly everybody still has the tractors that went on the different tractor gates.
Well, that sign just got away from us.
Well, it was probably good wood got used for something else.
So, but I was back farming again in that 2 years and then, and got started farming with this neighbor of mine, Norm Frederick, and then, of course, I've been there ever since. Because I hadn't left that, we've been in that same house since. And I just have 1 year where he's out and then back in again, so.
Okay, so we've got you on the road to Topeka, and the tractors are converging, and we've lost the Wolves. And then you head out east from Topeka. And I'm just amazed on this tractorcade how bad the weather was the whole way. And what are some of your memories of that trip of going?
You know, the one memory, I got up to Kansas City before we went to Sedalia, Missouri State Fairgrounds. And really, we got to there, and we was met by the National Guard. In my mind, I couldn't hardly believe what I was seeing. Of course, Marge and... But they had Army or National Guard or whatever it was on the side of the road, and I don't...
They were armed?
To this day, you know, I can't believe why would they bring out the Army on the side of the road. We weren't going to do anything. We were just going to go down to Washington, D.C. And why those... We got to Kansas City before we went off and started going to Sedalia, and they was... whether it was National Guard sitting along the road, whether they was thinking it was going to be a confrontation or what. I've always thought about that. But then they sitting there, and we just kind of went on by them and went on into Missouri and going down to Sedalia. And why they was there... that particular day, they thought there was going to be trouble or what. And of course, there wasn't any. We're just going down on the tractorcade to Washington, D.C., and I always remember those guys sitting along the road.
Well, we've learned that in Kansas, the police were quite cooperative. They helped you get through. But once you hit that Missouri border, it wasn't quite as friendly. You had to get off on Highway 50 in Missouri, didn't you?
Yeah.
Which was worse.
Yeah, because it's two lanes. And it was slow going, you know. And when we got to Sedalia, Missouri, at this fairgrounds, the troopers came in, and they was real helpful about trying to get us figured out how we're going to keep things moving, keep things going. They mm-hmm. had, I don't know how many troopers were there that day. We was there sitting in that, looked like a kind of an auction area where this fairgrounds was at. And there was a lot of troopers there that day, and they was real helpful, and they was trying to help us get things figured out, how we're going to get on the road and keep things moving, you know. Mm-hmm. And once we got through there, that deal up there at Kansas City, I've always thought about that, why those National Guard people sitting along the road. I kind of blew my mind away kind of thinking about that later.
Well, what was your day like, sort of, on the trip? What time did you get up and get started?
Always dark, and I got up, and it was always dark, and I went to bed.
Did you stay with the tractors and drive at 13 miles an hour?
I was always behind them.
Always behind them. Did your truck also serve as a repair thing?
Oh,
or not?
I had tools on that thing, and there was always something going on.
I can't
wrenches
imagine.
Wrenches and pipe wrenches and... Oh, I had things all alongside that truck, and just had this propane, this diesel fuel, and just every day there was some little thing, you know, and so...
Did someone ride with you ever?
No. I was always there by myself, so... But I was always behind the tractors, somewhere back with the trailers, mm-hmm. pickup trailer and the campers. Behind them, they're right in front of them. So
I can't imagine driving all that ways that slowly.
Oh yeah, it was every day. You just...
Of course, it wasn't boring. You were always trying to see the road through the snow, I guess.
But then it got down. Of course, this is later towards Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. The beautiful snow that they had there didn't have any wind, and remember pulling into Indianapolis in the parking lot. There somewhere, and the snow was snowing that day, and it was probably 10 or 12 inches on those posts along the edge of the road,
mm-hmm.
and it just purred in, just standing up there, it's just snowing that day, and wasn't any wind, and all that snow was on top of these fence posts, and it just beautiful, and of course it didn't even wind back there like we have here.
Right.
And remember pulling in that day, and you just looked along the snow, just piled up and everything. Just beautiful snow. So, and there was a lot of snow, seemed like after we left St. Louis. down through getting into Indianapolis and all those towns along the way. Like Greenville is that town to go through over that along I-70. Of course, there's this big fancy state prison there now, you know. Of course, I didn't remember staying in Greenville, but Terre Haute, Indianapolis, and Sedalia. Of course, there's a lot of places in between there, you know. That there was people out ahead of us trying to find places to park every day. You had to find places that where we were going to be that night, you know. And that was quite a job, too. So.
And you stayed with the Scheiflers at night in their trailer.
Stayed with Marge and Ed Scheifler.
And ate with them.
Ate with them.
Marge did the cooking.
Oh, my, yes. That's, you know, just whatever she could put together, but it was just always wonderful meals. I mean, they had to try to be nutritious, you know, because then they'd fix us kind of some lunch. We'd have some things we could eat there on the way during the daytime, you know. And, of course, in the mornings and then in the evenings, try to put things together where we can eat. And it was quite a job for her, Marge, to do that every day. So, Ed was driving the camper part-time, and then driving Titus's tractor part-time, and Junior was driving his wife. She was along, too. So there was a lot
Junior is Jim Titus?
Yes. Yeah, they call him Junior Titus. So he was, every day there was a new experience with him. I mean, he's just kind of a comedian type of guy. I mean,
well, tell us some stories about Jim.
Oh, I think it was up there and somewhere in Indianapolis, and his trailer froze up. Of course, trying to get his stool or his deal unplugged underneath his trailer house. Ed and I went over and got opened the door up, and there was Junior and Gene sleeping there. Of course, it was so cold in that trailer house, there wasn't any heat, and everything was plugged up, and nothing was working, and his trailer was plugged up, his toilet underneath, and you know, and there it was, he was breathing heavy, and, and I mean, it was cold. So he needed to get that trailer unplugged, so we had to crawl down underneath and pull the snow back away from that trailer and get up underneath there, and Ed finally got that thing unplugged where they can go to the bathroom. It froze up. And that was just stories now, like that.
Did this trailer not have a heater, or it just wasn't working?
The toilet was plugged up.
Yeah, I know that, but you said it was cold in there,
yeah,
too.
Cold. Evidently, he couldn't get his heater wasn't working or something. We had to work on his trailer that time. It was up there close to Indianapolis or somewhere. And I don't know exactly where it was at.
And were the trailers back then, were they insulated at all, or were they basically they were okay?
Every night, of course, I can't remember, our trailer always was working.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that was quite a job to keep that thing in shape. You know, where it's working and when it froze up. So
now, most people don't go camping in the wintertime.
Oh my God. Once we left, seemed like we left St. Louis, or Missouri, and going towards Indianapolis up to, it was cold and it seemed like it was snow all the way.
Mm-hmm.
And got to, and then of course you had these meetings every night, and all these tractor people, and everybody was getting together trying to figure out the route and this and that, and where are you going to stay, and of course Marge and Anna all had to get groceries, and I think we got to Wheeling, Pennsylvania, and then there comes down through there, Virginia, or So we went through there, going into Pennsylvania. Wheeling is there's a Pennsylvania, Ohio, and there's West Virginia, or Virginia. Wheeling is this town's name, and ahead of at that time they had one of these open up these starting to open these big malls, and we got there that day. It was snowing, and this guy from, I think he's down there from King, and he had a big case tractor, a big blade on the front of it. He was always out in front, and he got there that day and ahead of us, and he was cleaning the parking lot. I mean, people was getting stuck, and they had to find a place. And, people were, what in the world are you doing? And wasn't anybody there to clean the snow off this part, great big mall parking lot? He was out there just pushing snow and trying to get places to park, and he was already in there working with that tractor, getting, we pulled in there, and he's out there pushing snow. And it seemed like everybody's on, he's pushing snow with that big blade. And so anyway, it was interesting that time that we finally got a, and all the time, people always come up and thanking you along the way, you know.
Well, the farmers.
Yeah. And but there was area farmers that couldn't come into these meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for us guys to go to Washington, D.C. to try to get something done. Mm-hmm. And there's always farmers that come in that couldn't go. There's always shaking your hand. And
fed you sometimes? Did they or not?
Well, I can't remember that. Mm-hmm.
Of course, you were having good food in Scheifler's.
So. Yeah, I mean. So, anyway, yeah, Marge definitely definitely took care of us.
Let's see. I think there was one night you spent it on the rise of a overpass, was it?
We was there.
Parked on because the road was so bad, and they just had you pull over to the right.
Yeah, well, there was a place there, and an overpass there in St. Louis that the bridge was shaking.
Oh, woo!
And I remember that. And
why was it shaking?
Well, there was traffic was stopped, and we were stopped. And yeah, that wasn't good. I think right there at that place there in St. Louis. I think there was a wreck or something. Mm-hmm. Tractors involved in something ahead of us, and we was going up that place there in St. Louis over this bridge, and we stopped about halfway up, and you could just feel that thing was moving. And we was on there quite a while. I believe we might have been all night. Mm-hmm. Didn't move that night because it was something happened down in front of us. One of the tractors hit somebody. I can't remember exactly who it was. It took a while to get that.
I think Beverly in her diary said it seemed like every time you got to a big town there was a tractor accident, you know,
something,
because
yeah.
Those city people probably didn't know how to slow down.
Well, I know there's one in Washington, D.C. having right in front of me, and nobody stopped and hit this lady, and everybody just kept moving. So, so anyway. Anyway, it was, it was on that bridge there in St. Louis, and that thing was moving, and there was a tractor accident down in front of us down on the other side, and I can't remember who it was.
How were people's attitude? I mean, this was a difficult trip because of the weather, I think.
Oh.
I mean, just the trip in itself would be difficult, but then you add that weather. Did the participants keep pretty positive, or...?
We was positive, and we had everybody just seemed like every day it was just, we had a good time meeting other farmers at night, and these rallies we had along the way, and it was just positive all the way. I remember some of these places that we stopped, and of course there was a lot of places we were fed too. I mean, in these fairgrounds or where we was at, and it was just positive because other farmers came in and thanked us for what we did. And there was along the way we really just had a good time. I mean, we just even it was hard, it was really hard some days, you know, just trying to get through that snow and cold and getting things started every day, and so yeah, it was tough.
So So you got up to, I don't know, outside of Washington, D.C., and stayed at Cherry Hill Camp City. That's where you guys were camped.
Well, I'm looking at this Fred in Maryland. There was a some college before we got to Frederick, Maryland. I've been trying to think of that university.
Well, you know, I don't think we have the name of that college yet, and I haven't had time to try to investigate, but I will do that, because nobody remembers the name of that college, but you were glad to have it then.
Oh, I'll tell you what, and I'm probably going to tell some stories here my wife probably shouldn't know about. But
oh, that's okay. It's time for her to know.
It was, we were lost. I mean, Junior was lost, and that we just don't know where he was at that night with that tractor. And we went up through this this university. I think it could have been a JUCO, maybe. I don't know. I'm trying to think.
It was before you got to Frederick's?
Yeah, I think it was.
But right before, just...
Yeah, it was up there in somewhere in those mountains. Mm-hmm. Forced. You might use that word forced. I think it was a college. And, but anyway, you can imagine down through these canyons, down through these roads and snows piled clear up. I mean, you couldn't even see over the top of it.
So now, you're indicating like 6 foot or...
Oh.
Higher. Okay.
Yeah.
Where they had plowed it and piled it up. Okay, so.
And the truck was sliding down this way, and then you go a little bit, and first thing hopefully you didn't hit anybody, and it was snowing so hard. And finally we got to this college. And of course, Junior, I don't know whether he found us that night or the next morning. But he was telling us later where he went into this town and trying to find where we was at, because we was all lost. I mean, it's snowing, and finally got to this college up in this mountainous area before we got to Frederick. I know that. And we decided, we got inside this college and got camped in there. And it must have been a JUCO or what it was. It wasn't that big a college. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it was a college. And so we decided we were going to have something to drink that night. And probably had some liquor or something, or I don't know what it was, but we was drinking. And I think we all decided we weren't going to be moving the next day. And we thought we were just going to be there a while. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, the next morning, bang, bang, bang on that trailer door. Get up, we're moving out. I said, what? Because there's snow everywhere. And we got parked there, you know, and we never going to be able to get out of this place, you know. We're going to be there a day or two, you know. And that next morning, somebody started banging on that trailer, so we're moving out.
I think the college wanted you to leave, didn't they? Because they were going to have classes.
Could be, but I, in my mind, I was thinking about that, and I always remember that somebody beating on that door and telling them we're getting ready to move out. Out of no way. And by golly, we got the truck kind of out there going, and the trailer got it out from where the snow was and got moving. And, you know, we got out to that outside of that campus and started going towards, I think it's Frederick, going down towards that snow in that mountain, and there wasn't any. I mean, it just happened to be heavy snow that night. Mm-hmm. After we got back away from that college, oh, it was a few miles back up where it kind of leveled out. And there was snow, but there wasn't hardly anything like that college. I mean, it was trying to get in that snow was piled. There were along that, going down those canyon roads down through there and getting up in that college. I don't know how we got into that night. It was just a blizzard. It was terrible. Well, we're not going to move for a couple of days, so we decided, Well, we drank a little bit that night. And so I got up the next morning and had a headache, but then we all got up and started moving and got down towards Frederick. And I remember that big, you know, always Frederick had a big truck stop down there. And got down there and we ate. And of course, at that time, Frederick, Maryland was a big truck stop for that area, mm-hmm. and it was a big place. And everybody was asking the farmers and the tractors and going into Washington, D.C., they wanted to know all about what we was doing, how we was doing everything. It was interesting that day after we got out and away from that college and that all that snow and got down there closer to Washington, D.C. And that's somewhere down in there is where Jack Wolf joined me before he went into Washington.
Oh, before he went into Washington. Mm-hmm.
And going along there and the door opened up and there's Jack Wolf.
And he'd flown in.
Yeah, he was there ahead of us and come out uh-huh. there somewhere and he said, well, he was out there before we got into Washington, D.C. And of course, we went into a parking area outside of the. They have this deal around Washington, D.C. What do you call that?
The Beltway?
Beltway, yeah. We was outside of that before we came in. And of course, he found us and going down the road and we stopped there that evening and opened the door and there's Jack. Where'd you come from? So anyway, he rode in with us.
So he rode in your vehicle, in your truck.
Yeah, we talked.
And what was it like when you actually rode in with the tractors to D.C.? Can you talk about that day a little bit?
Oh, boy, it was pretty tense. Because going over this bridge, and they wouldn't let us move into where the mall area was at. And, of course, there was all those tractors before we got in there. And the Washington, D.C. police, they were trained, and they had keys to these tractors, and they knew how to drive.
Can this one be turned over? Okay.
So, anyway, we was outside the Beltway somewhere standing. I don't know where exactly where that is.
That Cherry Hill.
Well, could be. Mm-hmm. And of course there was meetings and this and that about tractors. Of course some of those old tractors were burnt down in front of the Department of Agriculture, you know, and it was set on fire and this and that. And of course the D.C. police knew how to drive these tractors. So, but I wasn't really involved in any of that. We were going in that day, and we were parked. Met us parked along the street over there, on one of these streets before you get down towards that Washington D.C. mall. I mean, we walked in and seen a lot of the things that happened before we even got there that day, and we were there all day, and finally we ended up going around in front of the White House with that truck and going down on the street, probably, I don't know how to call it, west, on the other side, and then going down. And we got stopped in a street that had a V, and then the street went this way, another way, and then we were stopped everywhere. And we were there, I think we was there all that afternoon and night. And trying to negotiate, the police wouldn't let us leave that area where we was at on the street.
You were stopped right on the street?
Yeah.
Huh.
And they stopped us and they wouldn't let us go. And of course, all the other tractors, a lot of them up around the mall, you know, put them inside that mall. And we was stopped on the side over there. Some tractors and my truck and I don't know what time of night that we finally let us go back out to where we was camped. Because
mm-hmm.
we went down on that side street and went from there in front of the White House, Blair House, then come down on the other side. We just kind of go down there and ran on towards the agriculture building, and we got stopped on a side street, a whole bunch of us on the street and tractors, and things were pretty tense with the policemen, and they wouldn't, we just tried to negotiate, trying to get back out to where we could go, and I think it was the next morning or next day. We was there all night and trying to get back. And
did you find the police pretty cooperative, or were they pretty stern?
Yeah, they of course, as we know them now, they're there to protect the White House in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And
who was in your truck with you?
I was by myself.
You were by yourself?
Yeah.
Just checking.
But you were with
Jack Wolf rode in with him.
Yeah, but I mean, where you were stopped in that V, were there other, you were all by yourself?
No, I was there with other tractors.
Yeah, but from our group?
Yeah, there was, I'm sure Beth was there.
Okay, she didn't say you spent the night, but she's, at one point she says...
Well, it was during the middle of the night there somewhere, mm-hmm, that we left there, and we was there a long time.
And
that
she,
day.
The way she remembered is that you got back the trailer and the rest of them weren't there, and she was tired and went to bed.
And there was somewhere along the way we met Junior Titus and his tractor, and we went back and got back in there that night, early that morning, and...
And then the others came in because they didn't know where you were.
Yeah, and we all got separated. Mm-hmm. And so I was... that was a long evening, long night, getting back to where our camp was, and where she was with me in that truck, where we stopped at that V, I don't know.
I think she was on her track, or at least in one, she was...
I was with this guy from Stafford and this guy from Kenyon. Okay.
She was on her tractor, so that she may have been in another group.
Yeah.
That got, again, didn't end up on the mall.
Right. Yeah. And so once you got inside that mall, you was in there. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't let you out. You had the buses and had all these policemen surrounded you. Our truck was sitting over here when those tractors went in, so we parked over here along the street, and then later we went and got the truck and some other tractors and went down in front of the White House, mm-hmm, and went on around, and that's where we got stopped.
That's where you got stopped. So did you go to the big rally where you were just, you know, on foot? Maybe it was the Ag Building or something?
Yeah, we was out there. We was walking around all that day, part of the afternoon around the mall, and seeing the policemen. They had buses around the mall, all the way around, with policemen in those buses, and there's no way you can get out. And so we went around and walked around, and then we went up to the White House, and policemen up there, went and talked to them, and walked back, and finally got back to the truck. Now, we were going to go back to the campground, but we kind of came back and found the White House and Blair House, went down around here, and got stopped.
In that
area. Mm-hmm. Man, we're going to be here. And finally, sometime during that night, they let us go.
Now, how many days did you spend in Washington, D.C.?
Oh, boy.
Or about, you know, were you there... Just a couple days, or?
Yeah, I couldn't have been over about three, four.
And then you flew home.
Yeah, and Beverly and I flew home.
And Mary Ellen brought your truck back.
Yeah, they brought
about, what, a week or so later, or a couple weeks?
Probably that next week.
Next week? Yeah. While you were there for those 2 or 3 days, did you do any of the lobbying where they went into the...
We went into the House of Representatives. And we set up around the top,
mm-hmm,
where you, up there.
Yeah, and the balcony visitors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and did that.
Did you meet with any of the congressmen or senators in their offices? You personally? Or? No, don't remember. Okay.
We rode that train back over to the Senate building a couple different times, and we went to some of these offices, mm-hmm. but then there was other guys that did the talking, and we was in those buildings. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And how did, you know, let's see, this was Senator Dole and Sebelius and, what's the other one? No, it wasn't Sebelius then, it was Casaubon. Dole and Casaubon, who was a representative?
Well,
anyway, what's your remembrance of how they, were they supportive or?
Yeah, and I remember those guys, people on the street that they were lobbyists or they worked there, and I remember going down the street and they turned around talking to us. Well, you guys mean business, you know, you're down here in your tractors and give up your time to try to get something done, and the people, that opened people's eyes that we drove all that way down there and trying to get something done for the farmers, and there was some legislation that we attended and that set up in the balcony, mm-hmm. and I can't remember exactly, but it was voted down,
mm-hmm.
Something we was trying to get done. So, you know, I came home, but anyway, it was interesting to see all that,
what?
And progress of what they was trying to get done.
And you sort of mentioned earlier, though, was it a worthwhile trip?
I think it was for me, just seeing the process of what tried to get take place, and you look at it now, and things that, a lot of things that we wish could get done that we see on TV now, and really all they got to go through to get bills here to there and talk about on the floor and the government, it's interesting how things turn down that area.
So you don't regret going at all?
No, I don't.
Mm-hmm. When you came home, how did people back here in Edwards County react to what you had done?
Oh, I don't know. I just feel like it. Well, of course, a lot of the people that we was involved with still think today that we was trying to get the right thing done.
Mm-hmm.
And I started out in Colorado, of course, and moved mm-hmm. this way.
How about your father? Did he change his mind about it?
Not really. Glad to see me home, of course. But then my wife, but then he is still skeptical of going, of course. Of course, he didn't say that he is still supportive. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, as far as that, but then as far as doing that, he didn't think that was necessary. But.
Did you stay active in the AAM then? Or
no, not.
Or other farm organizations?
No, of course, along the Farm Bureau now. I have insurance there, but I keep up on the Farm Bureau newsletter. I mean, what they're doing, this and that. But then American Ag, as far as I can remember, kind of dissolved after mm-hmm. a few years. So.
Well, it was quite an undertaking.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. To get all those tractors going every day. But just meeting the other farmers along the way. I mean, it was just interesting, the people you met. I mean, that's, of course, I like going to malls and watch people and visit with people and those sat there on those benches anyway. You go to a mall and there'd be somebody sat there and you strike up a conversation or something. That's what I go for, you know. I would just talk to people. So, but then there's a lot of that'd be interesting to see Beverly's diary, because she kept a lot of that, and I was focused on trying to keep everybody going. That's what I was.
You were very important. Everybody thought you were very important.
So, anyway, keeping tractors going, keep the trailers going, and driving that every day, and it was quite a chore.
So this is in 1979, and then by 19, we haven't quite figured out, 84 or 85, somewhere in there, that's when you sort of lose the farm. You have to quit farming.
Yeah, for a year.
And,
it was 85, and 86. 86.
Well, if you figure that out, we'll say it's 85. If it's 86,
okay.
Let me know later, and we'll make sure it's right in the transcript. What was that like to have to quit firefighting?
That's tough. Boys are older. They was up what, junior high or close to junior high, wasn't it?
No, Rhonda graduated.
88. But then selling all your farm equipment that day, it was terrible. And when I wanted to work for Ron Schultz, my brother-in-law, over at Churchdale, Ron?
I don't think I do.
Okay. So anyway, he was farming over there, and went over and worked for him 1 year, and then came back, and Miss Norm Frederick and I got together and said, well, let's see if we can kind of get things going again. He was a neighbor struggling, too, and needing help.
Why exactly did you have loans for, like, the irrigation?
Yeah, it was,
or?
Of course, 18% interest back in those days. It was high interest rates. That's what this whole thing was battling here. Was, and 18% or 21%, that's, we can keep things going with that. Just got overextended.
Well, the other people have told us the banks were real willing for you to get overextended.
Yeah, exactly.
And they weren't real cooperative when...
Exactly. So, anyway, I got some things worked out with the bank and started this neighbor of mine, Norm Frederick, and he's needing help, and I was needing help, and kind of got to going again, and it's been kind of a struggle ever since. And we got some raising some crops, and buying some machinery, and so...
And doing it together.
It
made the bills, not halves.
Exactly, and got a truck and a combine and got a tractor and started making things work again. The interest rates come down, and so we're about 10 years ago, eight, we got a oil well, didn't hurt anything.
So, that's your subsidizing your farm.
And of course I was thankful that after their tragedy in 2002 with their son Troy, Jay got through college and worked for Seaboard Farms out at Leota about 5 years, and we was hoping we'd get him back to the farm, and he came back and worked for his father-in-law up there, Dale Zook, for a year, and then Norm said, I'm going to retire this next year, and so he took Jay in for a year and helped him work for Norm Frederick for a year. They've got to get to know the landlords on his side, and this is where this oil income kind of kicked in, and I was, day of the sale, was able to buy a lot of his machinery and get Jay started, my son, and he's still there at Norm's place. Been there about 6 years now. So
you can see your farm continuing.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's, not everybody's in that situation, even today.
Living there, we're hoping that we can be able to, I'm 68, hopefully another 2 years I'm still kind of good. I'm feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
Heart, health's good.
So many of the kids at that time, the farm couldn't support two families, so they had to go find another way to make a living, and now to come back is a hardship, or, the knowledge isn't there either, I don't know.
So he's a university K-State grad, and his knowledge has been beneficial to me, because I think it made me a better farmer, actually. Mm-hmm. His degree in university, K-State, or any university as far as that goes, but then his knowledge of what he's learned and what he can apply to what we're doing, no-till and this and that, it's making us be a better farm.
Who would you blame for the situation back there? Was it a government problem, a banking problem,
Well, there was a lot of things out of control back then, interest rates and this and that. And
I mean, why you couldn't raise your prices in order to make a living?
The prices are low, and then you had high interest rates, and of course, if you didn't hit a good year, then if you had one bad year, then, I had one of those years, the banks are... There's a lot of farmers that are not here today because of it in the 1980s. It's been in the 1980s. But Well, what I went through, a lot of them have been out here back farming it. So.
Well, Miss Rosetta, is there anything else, or what have I forgotten? Is there anything else you want to add about this?
Well, that experience that was on the tractor cage, and of course, Jack Wolf, I always remember him getting into that truck and not being a part of that tractor cage. He wanted to be a part of that tractor cage so bad.
Mm-hmm. Still does today.
Still does today. And I remember hearing about that. We was getting ready to leave that, or he's on our way somewhere, and oh, Jack Wolf had an accident down there. Because Newton, I had in my mind before, but I think it was Newton. And anyway, he couldn't go, and he wanted to be on there so bad. And him and Dasko, of course, they'd been in the trailer. Mm-hmm. And so, anyway, and he opened the door up there in Washington, D.C., and he was getting ready to get in. And he was crying. He really was. Uh-huh. He got in the front seat and he just cried. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to be on that tractor cage so bad, you know, and he got down and he got, and part of it, but being there when we went in the place and he got in the front seat and he just cried. So, yeah, he's a pretty emotional guy.
Yeah.
But to see all of that,
the unity of
When he knew what was going to happen, but to be there all of a sudden and see it, that would be amazing.
Yeah, we was coming in that day and he was there, and well, I guess maybe Daryl or somebody brought him out there to where
probably
he was at. And be able to be a part of that, he was just pretty well overwhelmed. So, yeah, he's a pretty special guy. Of course, he went through a lot more, too.
Yeah. Okay, well, if there's nothing else.
Because there's a lot of things here, a lot of those deals along there, you're just working so hard that every day trying to keep everything going, a lot of stuff just kind of left me. So,
did you have a feeling you were part of history?
Yes, I did. Sure did.
I think you were.
We were trying to go down and try to get some things down in Washington, D.C., and that's where it all starts, is legislation down to Capitol Hill, of trying to legislate things down here, out here, so we can kind of make things work out here, and things wasn't going very good down here, I didn't think. So. Mm-hmm.